Well, the Berkshire Theater Group has announced the Berkshire Theater's 2020 summer season with a casting sneak peek. And man, it's such an amazing season. Kay McGuire is the artistic director, CEO, and new WAMC panelist.
Oh my goodness, it was so fun. Thank you.
We'll add that to your resume. She's here to tell us more, and we couldn't be more thrilled. The 2020 season, this is amazing to me, marks 10 years since the announcement of the merger between the Colonial Theater and the Berkshire Theater Festival. It includes classics, three world premieres, and plenty in between. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Kay McGuire back to the program. We have lots to talk about.
Oh, it's a great pleasure to be here. Thank you, Joe.
Well, thank you so much. What go? I feel like I this is what I ask you every time I see you. But what goes into planning? Because you have, it's different than just planning your old job of just planning a festival.
Yes.
You've got a lot of stages.
Yes.
You have a lot of plates spinning on those sticks.
Yep.
And you have to think, and you mentioned this during the panel, all of the interaction that you have with kids and the education programs,
right.
Not to mention the older kids who are coming in to help with the season, ..
Yep.
So all of that has to be on your mind as you put a season together.
And so the other piece, which I thought about in the last session, was that the theater, particularly the Colonial in Pittsfield,
yes,
is used as a gathering space. So we bring foster families together before a show. So kids, siblings that have been separated have a meeting place. We have memory cafes where people that are suffering with dementia meet on a Tuesday every month and tell stories and play music. We have events inside the theater where there are 600 people listening to a speaker speak about what it means to be a trauma-informed society.
Right.
I mean, all of these things are happening and have to happen at that Colonial Theater in particular because it's open 12 months a year. It was built by that community, and we have a responsibility to that community to make sure it is a center of all kinds of activity for communication.
So I don't expect an exact answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyway, which is, so 10 years, at what point did you think, okay, I think we got this right now?
I don't ever think that. I work in the theater.
But you
we are a place that changes and adapts, and we are not for profit. And
But you must have some confidence, a built-in confidence that, okay, I know what this place needs. I know what that place needs.
There is that feeling.
Yeah.
So there was a sigh of relief probably 2 or 3 years ago where I thought, oh, this is finally starting to make sense.
Yeah.
And the staff was also agreeing. It made a lot of sense when we created the merger. Remember, it was right after 2008.
Correct.
Everything had collapsed. We were looking for economies of systems. We were also looking for, at the Berkshire Theater Festival, which is where I've been now for almost 26 years, at the Berkshire Theater Festival, we were looking for a great home for musicals and a great home to bring our education program, which was growing by leaps and bounds. The Colonial Theater was in front of us. We created a merger. The boards merged beautifully. Staffs came together. It all seemed okay. And then when we got into it, it was like, wow, this is big. And what are we? And which stage is supposed to house what? And about 2 or 3 years ago, I think we finally began to land on it.
You mentioned yourself, you mentioned the staff, you mentioned the board, but also the audience, right? The audience got used to the fact that you were all one.
Yes. And I think that you know, that we did that. We created the sense of, if you want to see a musical, then why don't you travel down to the Colonial to see a great big musical like Rock and Roll Man that we did last year.
Which was great.
If you want to see a show which really showcases the talent of Berkshire County school kids, which is extraordinary, go to the Colonial and see 100 kids. See them up in the air flying around like you will this summer in Peter Pan. If you want to see a musical, and I'm staying on musicals just for a minute, if you want to see a musical in a really intimate space, then let's go to the Unicorn Theater or let's, as we are this year, create a cafe situation at the Fitzpatrick main stage where we will be presenting two musicals, one called Letters to the President and the other called Godspell.
Right.
And so we're changing the space up a little bit. There'll be cafe seating, food service throughout the show, actors prepared to interact with the audience, and I think it's a completely different and fun ambiance that will be created.
Does that change things in the sense of, I'm thinking about a conversation that you and I had about, you know, dealing with people in the community of what they think of your theater to be, and then it's not that the next time they come. So when you have things
right.
like this and you're changing up the seating in the Fitzpatrick and you have Letters to the President and you have
yeah.
Godspell, I mean, that's, I don't want to say it's radical, but it's a big change.
Well, the audience is used to some tables being set up in the back
of the theater. Right.
We've just made it more comfortable for folks.
Yep.
And, you know, Letters to the President, what it is a compilation. Three young people from Northwestern University have worked and archived and curated letters that have been written to the presidents and letters that presidents have written to citizens over these many years. And they have worked now with 19 up-and-coming extraordinary composers, several of whom have already won their Jonathan Larson Awards and are creating for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. And they've put all of these letters to music. So there'll be six performers on the stage showing us some of the most wonderful, heartwarming, joyous, painful times in our history through music. And through these letters that have been written.
And you do this during an election year, which seems like a no-brainer.
Yes, it is nonpartisan. Also, we see both sides of the debate.
Was there a time where you wouldn't put up a world premiere on the Fitzpatrick stage?
No, we've always done...
Always done a world.
We've always done premieres on that stage. I mean, the history of the Fitzpatrick main stage is the history of the American theater.
Yeah.
The theater is 91 years old. And if you look at the history... Remember that Eva Le Gallien provided the inspiration for that space, and Eva Le Gallien was all about making sure that theater got out to the masses. The first plays that she did were plays by Ibsen. I mean, they were not simple plays. They were the classics. They were not happy, you know, musicals all the time. Then the Berkshire Theater Festival changed. 10 plays in 10 weeks happened for a while under the artistic leadership of Billy Miles.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of musicals in that period. Then it changed again. I mean, we're always changing. I would say that the main stage audience has come to expect plays that are of a classical nature. And so these letters... are certainly of the most classical. I mean, we've got letters from the earliest presidents being written, being sung about. And so the piece feels very right. Godspell, which is one of the most enduring and well-loved musicals,
right.
I think is going to be... I demand that everybody dance in that space and get out of their chairs.
It's hard not to during Godspell.
I ask all of you to go to that album and listen to it because it's just great, great music. I have a wonderful cousin named, second cousin named Peter Canellis. And Peter works for Politico. He was one of the spotlight guys at the
yes.
Boston Globe. Very serious intellect. And so he emailed me after seeing the season and he said, Kate, I love Godspell. And I thought, oh, that's so interesting. And then Peter went on to say how he was taken to see Godspell when he was very young by a religious teacher, and he became fascinated by the Gospels. I thought, of course, that's where you live. But it's the Gospels.
Yes.
And it's the best music.
It is.
And prepare ye the way of the Lord, please.
Just terrific
yeah,
stuff.
Terrific stuff.
You have two other world premieres on the Unicorn stage.
We have... we're starting off the Unicorn with a couple of solo performances. One is a gentleman named Sean Lewis, who many moons ago was one of our acting interns and has since really had an extraordinary career, created a piece that has won several awards called Dogs of Rwanda, which indeed is about Rwanda and that genocide. Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating, provocative, troubling, thought-provoking look at what happened there. And then we have a wonderful actress, local actress, Berkshire audiences know her, wonderful writer, named Rachel Siegel, mm-hmm. who has a child that has Down syndrome. And she has written this absolutely funny, warm, loving piece about her experiences as a mother of a child that other people look at and may not think is, you know, there's some difficulty in talking to this child. What's going on here?
And what's that called?
That is called the R word.
And they'll be playing together?
They'll be playing in rep over a period of 2 weeks.
Yep.
And then we have another world premiere. Tara Wilson Noth has written an extraordinary play called Broken Code, Bird Switching.
Hmm.
And this play is about an African-American attorney who lives in a world of white privilege, finds herself living in this world. Enter an African-American woman whose son has been charged with murder. She knows her son is innocent and begs this attorney to take on his case. And so the woman steps back into a world that she once knew and is forced to think about her own identity, her roots, where she came from, what she believes. It's a play about incarceration. It's a play about that bird that's broken, if you will.
Yep.
It's a play how we all try to adapt in new situations and new circumstances.
And you have some star power this season.
Well, we have Uncle Vanya, Chekhov's masterpiece, being directed by Pulitzer Prize and Tony Award winner David Auburn, who's been with us for many years.
Yes.
And he's gathered a great company. Wonderful actor named Mark Blum. Wonderful actress named Rebecca Brookshire. Wonderful actress named Harriet Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful actor named Chris Noth.
Yeah.
And wonderful actor named David Adkins. I mean,
it's a great cast.
It's a great cast.
Yeah.
It's a great play. So you better have some good horses to pull it off.
So we don't have a lot of time, but I just have to ask this question. So when you have something like that, you have a great cast, and you say, let's put this in the smaller of the theaters, where you could put it in the larger of the theaters.
We
right?
could, but it's Chekhov, and it's a piece that is an intimate piece, I think. It's a
yes.
look at a group of people that are bordering on the edge of the woods and looking out at the future and contemplation like nobody does but Chekhov.
I just love how you say, well, it is Chekhov.
It is Chekhov.
It's a good,
I mean,
it's a great
it's
point.
A contemplative piece.
You also have in the Unicorn season, Neil Simons, they're playing
Oh my
their
gosh.
Song,
Greg Edelman, Mr. Broadway, will be with us to direct their playing our song. It's just so wonderful and so fun about this sort of mismatched couple finding their way through song.
And
Marvin Hamlisch music.
Absolutely. And A Nightingale Sang.
And A Nightingale Sang will be with us in the fall. It is a bittersweet and beautiful, beautiful play about a very eccentric family. Funny, warm, loving, two sisters at the heart of the play in relationships, yearning for love, boys going off to war, crazy grandfather, parents trying to settle everything down. And it is a play that is about love and family. And I really thought at the time of the election, at a time where we may be feeling some stress, could we all go to the theater for a little bit of comfort food and remind ourselves what is most important, and that is our own loved ones and our families, what we hold dear.
And then over at the Colonial, you have
Peter Pan. With, you know, those productions are filled with children,
right?
Filled with young adults. There'll be well over 100 kids in that show. Peter Pan will soar over the audience. We work
Travis Daly is a saint.
Travis Daly, gosh, you should come to one of those rehearsals someday. He is the Pied Piper. But yes, we hire a company that's with us for almost a week. They put up a huge metal piece up over the ceiling and then work with our young actors to make sure that they're all safe and soaring at the Colonial.
We have 30 seconds, but is there anything else you want to mention? I can direct people to your website, of course.
Please direct everyone to the website. Too. Please come see us at the theater. If you want to be able to just find a place to gather this summer or before, I promise you Berkshire Theater Group is the place to do it and have a wonderful time.
They have a beautiful, beautiful season. It can all be seen, plus all the other stuff you've got going on. We didn't
all
even get into
stuff.
It.
We've got The Little Mermaid coming up, the Irish Comedy Tour. It's March.
BerkshireTheaterGroup.org, BerkshireTheaterGroup.org. Kate McGuire, it's always such a lovely time to be with
you. What a morning.
Thank you. Yes. We look forward to your return. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.